Yeah.
Did I go right down?
Yeah.
Not two, not three, not four.
Hello? You play to win the game.
Not two, not three, not four.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Not two, not three, not four.
We're getting ready for Cincinnati. But we're on to Cincinnati.
How difficult is it to...
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
Not two, not three, not four.
It's my team. It's my quarterback.
There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children.
Hi, I'm Rob Lowe. And I'm Rob Lowe, who threw a slant in the middle of the end zone during Super Bowl 49 instead of running the ball with the Beast. God, have mercy on my soul. Oh my God, I could have thrown a fade where the chances of the ball being intercepted are much less. Or you just run it, you pound the ball with the Beast, Marshawn Lynch, who New England had some difficulty stopping him, brought you down to the 1.5-yard line, but you decided to throw in the middle of traffic where there's a lot of congestion and the possibilities of an interception are much greater, even though no quarterback has been intercepted on the 1-yard line. But we made history, and that's why this commercial, you're going to hear it. We've had every other stinking Rob Lowe commercial, from the arm curtain hairs, from the high school jock one, to the schizophrenic paranoid Rob Lowe. Well, now we need the Rob Lowe who threw the slant in the middle of the field on second down, last possession in Super Bowl 49 when he could have ran the ball with the Beast. And they should put Marshawn Lynch in that commercial, and I guarantee he would have no problem doing it. Welcome to another edition of the Slant Sports Talk with Brad Stein. We do this live, but this show will be heard every Tuesday on both Oregon Sports News and Full Gamut Radio at FGRN.net. This is we're on to another sports show. Other sports show. And we're going to dedicate this show, since this is the first week without the National Football League, without football, period, we're going to dedicate it to Billaboobs and his little baloney knockers hanging out of his blue sweatshirt, that New England Patriot blue. I'm going to dedicate it to Belichick, Billaboobs, we call him now. It's a great show. Great to have you here. Thank you very much for joining. Just because football is away from us, it's still not away from us. Remember, it's 365 days a week, 24 hours, but we're on to other sports, and we're going to do it. Chris Paul teed up and fined. What'd you think about that? We're going to discuss if it was justified, the technical, the fine, and comments that it could have been a little sexist. The great Dean Smith died at age 83. I'm going to tell you his biggest impact on the basketball court. Plus, why the NFL would make a monumental mistake expanding the playoffs. We're going to cover a lot in a little time. Happy Monday or Tuesday if you're listening. Today is Monday here, and it is National Read in the Bath Day. And I always like to celebrate the little national holidays that we have. What day is it? This one, it didn't resonate with me because I don't really take baths anymore. I'm not really into that. More into the shower. I wanted to celebrate it. So I had the wife come in. And she read to me in the shower. That way I could say I celebrated it, but I wasn't in the bathtub. It's also National Toothache Day, because there's usually like two or three holidays on each day. That one I didn't understand. Do you celebrate National Toothache? Oh, yes, please give me a toothache. Let's celebrate it. No, that one I'm not going to celebrate. But it is Read in the Bathtub Day, and we're going to celebrate that. And I wish I could have read to Damian Lillard that he will be going to New York and representing in the All-Star game after Blake Griffin is going to receive surgery on his elbow due to a staph infection. Hey, Blazer fans, what'd you think of Damian Lillard's ovation yesterday, Sunday, in Houston? Is that what you're expecting? Houston, if you didn't get to see the game, Houston, the Blazers, they have some bad blood because Portland beat the crap out of him in the postseason last year. Damian Lillard hit one of the biggest shots you've ever seen, 30-footer, and the Houston fans will never forget that. So they let Damian know what they thought about him. It's a complete compliment, and that's the way you take it. But that wasn't even the best moment of the game. That was the second best moment of the game. How about Terry Stotts replacing Chris Kaman for Myers Leonard?
or rebounding. When do you see that? Myers Leonard, everyone, including myself, you started to forget about this guy because he came in with some hype, 7-1, can run the floor, great athlete, good body. He had all the assets to contribute in his rookie season. And he did. We saw some flashes here and there. You're like, okay, the guy can run the court. Second year, looked completely discombobulated and lost. He regressed. There were parts of him that were like, do you know how to rebound the basketball? 6'3" guards are rebounding over him. And he just lacked the instincts. But when you lack the instincts and you lack experience from only playing a couple years in college, you need one thing, and it's called playing time. And this year, he finally got it due to some injuries. He got lucky, because it always happens. You're always going to get a second chance, a third chance. You're going to get a chance to make your mark, and you got to make the most of it. When your number's called, you make the most of it. And I'm impressed what I'm seeing with Myers Leonard. But I never thought the day would come where Myers was going to be called in, taking Chris Kaman, a veteran who was known for shot blocking, defending the rim, and rebounding. That was some of the best attributes of his game. Now this guy's out of here, and you're bringing Myers Leonard in because he finally learned how to rebound the ball. And you could pay tribute to Kaman, Robin Lopez, and LaMarcus. Surrounding him with great coaches and great veteran players, it's made a real impact in his game. It's just good to see. It's finally, you see some improvement, and I love watching big guys evolve in the NBA. It's my favorite thing about basketball. Watch these guys. The ones who are a little uncoordinated, who don't know what they're doing, who lack maybe a post game, lack offense, but they come in as a great athlete and they can defend the rim. Well, this guy came in as a great athlete, can shoot the ball, and that is about it. Has no back to the basket game, no defense, no reboundings, no instincts. Now all of a sudden, Myers Leonard is blocking shots. This is cool to see that. Remarkable improvement, confidence, aggressiveness, defense. I caught myself a few times saying, hey, put Myers in. Chris Kaman, he looks a little bit slow, a little bit old. He's got slow feet. He's not keeping up with the guy. I'm like, bring Myers Leonard in. And now Thomas Robinson is sitting out. Joel Freeland, he's not really coming into the game much because Myers Leonard is pretty decent right now. He's solid and he's getting better, and that's what you want to see. Super comeback win last night for the Blazers, or in the afternoon, evening time. Because I would say Saturday night, in my humble opinion, that had to be, and I agree with most of the posts. I read a lot of tweets and I read a lot of blogs. That was the worst Blazer loss that I've seen in the last 3 years. Or at least, I guess you could say, in the whole Terry Stotts era. It was despicable. Awful. And to come back the way you did, because you almost blew the game again. And you're on the road in a tough place in Houston, just like Dallas, that would have been two games in a row on the road, two tough Western Conference teams that you would have beat. But this one without Dwight Howard, so there's no excuse. You have to win this game, right? You can't just, if that happened again, you imploded again. You're up by 20 points and you let Houston come back without Dwight Howard. What does that mean for the rest of the season? A loss like that could be detrimental to your whole team. And I'm just so happy that they got the win. Because it could have been really ugly on Sports Talk in the local Pacific Northwest. Thank you for listening to the Slant Sports Talk. We do this on Oregon Sports News and Full Gamut Radio. Had a lot of stuff to talk about. A lot of stuff happened in college basketball with Dean Smith dying, passing away. A guy who meant more off the court than he did on the court, but we're going to talk about both. Ray's Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player ever. True legacy. There was just a lot. And you have this college basketball player that just likes to poke people in the eyes for some reason. And it happened again last night. And you're like, does this guy think he's Ric Flair or something? He just pokes people in his eyes. And it's not inadvertent. He's purposely doing it. This is the third time that he's got caught poking people in the eyes. It's one of those head scratchers. Like, what's this guy doing? He's 7 foot tall and he's poking 6'2" guards. And he's poking the big guys. At least he's not sexist like some people think Lillard is. He's poking anyone in the eye. Or not Lillard, Chris Paul. Did you see that? Oh, that was astonishing. Was that Friday night? The why cost him a technical foul and $25,000. And I can understand how Chris Paul was really upset after the game. watched it, Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavs had something like 40 free throws when the Clippers had 20. But the Clippers suck. And even before Blake Griffin got injured or is out with this staph infection, they just imploded game after game, the Clippers. And I know CP's frustrated, and you're going to take it out on the refs. And he went after the game. And of course, there's a new female referee. It's her first year. So if you say anything, if you're going to criticize a referee, now if you're going to go after a female, because the media is so bored. There's no news on Deflategate. There's no NFL. There's no college football. They have to create these stories and fabricate stuff and make something out of nothing. And I always hated that with the media. We could talk about games. Maybe it's not as sexy, but you're going to bring up Chris Paul where he's sexist because he said, this might not be for her. NBA had no problems with it. Did ESPN? Obviously, someone in the media had an issue with this. And now trying to say, okay, well, maybe he's going after a female official saying they have no business in here. I look at what the NBA did. They did not. All they did was fine him $25,000. And if you criticize a male official or any official, you're fined $25,000. That's the normal fine. And if this was a male official, you get the $25,000 fine. It's the end of the situation. But it happened to be against a female. And we happened to be 1 week after the Super Bowl. How much can you talk about Russell Wilson if he's worth all this money? How much can you talk about, well, why did you throw a slant in the middle? I mean, even Rob Lowe said, why would you throw a slant in the middle of the field when you could run the ball with beast mode? Or at least throw a fade, a pass that has less of a chance to be picked off. Higher percentage pass. And there's so many times that you can criticize Pete Carroll, the offensive coordinator, Russell Wilson for the passing decision, even the wide receiver for not going after the ball harder. I know Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator, called him out. It's just a big mess. You do it for a week, it becomes perpetual, and everyone starts to get sick of it. And then you start flipping the channels or you start turning the knob and go to a different station. And here we go. Media's looking to create something. Let's talk about this. Let's write about it. Let's heighten it. Let's magnify the situation. There is no situation because the NBA didn't think it's a situation. And that's why I want to attack the media. I think we should attack the media when they try to create and fabricate a dumb story with no significance of Chris Paul sexist. You can't read between the lines because this might not be for her and try to translate that into Chris Paul hates all female referees. He thinks they should find a different job. No, Chris Paul did not like to be. He got a couple technical or had a technical on him because he said, why? And everyone, DeAndre Jordan had a technical foul. There was, I think, four. Doc Rivers had one. I think there was four technical fouls called on the Clippers. Well, that and the fact that Cleveland had 40 free throws and to the Clippers 20, yeah, there might be a little problem there that one team is getting more calls than the other. That's all that he was insinuating. He said, don't misconstrue my words. But let's take this back a little further. What if Chris Paul used her name? And I don't know her name, and I'm sure Chris Paul doesn't know her name, because why would you want to know the names of officials? If you know the names of officials, it's probably not a good sign. He doesn't know it. I don't even know. I think her name is Lori. I might be making it up, whatever. It's her first year. What if he said instead of her, well, maybe this isn't for Lori. Are you still going to call him a sexist? Are you going to say that, oh, God. I think he's alluding to all women should not be NBA referees. It's just preposterous, and I hate that we even have to talk about that. So many better things. How about Mayweather and Pacquiao? Still going on. Here's another perpetual event that we've been talking about for years. I thought it was in the dumps last year. I called for it. I don't even care anymore. Now, the big question is, will it or won't it happen? Thanks again for listening to the Slant Sports Talk with Brad Stein. Doing it on Full Gamut Radio and OregonSportsNews.com. You can hit me up at Twitter at Brads56. Oh, I'm curious. Now I'm fascinated. I'm completely captivated by Mayweather and Pacquiao are going to happen. I've watched both these fighters for several years. These are the best fighters that we've had in this division, probably since Hagler and Leonard. A long time. And if Mayweather wants to solidify his legacy as one of the greatest ever, he needs to win. And Pacquiao has less to lose than Mayweather. Because Mayweather's going to be a huge favorite in this. But if Pacquiao gets knocked down the second, third round, then it's not going to look good for him. But these two guys need to fight. Number one, Mayweather loves the payday. And I don't know why, because he gives out Bentleys to NFL players just for being your friend. But it seems like, or at least according to him, that he wants a 60-40 cut. And that's the reason why none of this has worked out. It's all about financial. And I do agree with Mayweather that it's about financial. Pacquiao just wants a fight. Manny Pacquiao's been on a countless number of ESPN shows and radio shows saying, I just want this to happen. He can have more money. I want to fight. I'm ready. And that's it. I'm not on steroids and all this other crap that Mayweather said. And I don't really think Mayweather is ducking him. I think Mayweather is trying to elude the situation because he wants the prize money to increase just a little bit. He wants the speculation, the talk, the media coverage all heightened. That's what this is. Don't let it fool you. They're letting this play out for more interest and more money. That's the bottom line. I've said this a year ago, and then all of a sudden they brought the talks back, and then they start talking about it again. Then they're seen at an NBA game, and they're talking again. What are they talking about? This is what Mayweather's saying. He's getting Pacquiao. He goes, yeah, great. Hey, we're going to get this fight done. No problem. You're going to get your chance, your opportunity. But let's just keep holding off. We're not getting any younger, but we're the same age. So it's not like one of us have an advantage over the other. But I want the 60-40. I want to make at least 100. I'm promised about 100 million now. I want to make 150. That means if I make 150, then you make something like 80, 90, 100 million. How's 100 sound? And the Pacquiao's like, okay, well, either it doesn't happen or I go by Mayweather's rules. That's fine. Let's keep escalating this situation. That way we both can get paid. Mayweather's saying that this fight needs to happen. You're damn right this fight needs to happen. Pacquiao's wanted to happen. Come on. Give us what we want. But if you want to keep letting this go, I'm different than most people. I don't know how you are, but when I hear all this fight melee and they keep going back and forth, I lose interest. When I used to get teased by girls when I was younger, and, oh, well, let's just wait a little bit longer. We'll go on a few more dates, and I promise I'll give you more kisses and hanky-panky. I'll lose interest. I don't care how hot she is. I will lose interest. I want it, and that's it. I know what I want, and I think Pacquiao knows what he wants, and Mayweather, he has an objective, and that's what he's reaching. So just don't buy it. Just don't buy all this hype. They want all their money. Eventually, they're going to get it, and it's going to happen. It's just a matter of how much can Mayweather squeeze out? How many more months can they do this until people start losing interest? And I will. My interest is starting to diminish little by little, but once they bring it back up, you better believe it, I'm going to be at Hooters watching the fight. There's no way I'm going to miss this. But I'm not going to be as excited as I was if this happened 4 years ago. But I'm still going to watch it. It's one of those situations. Are you going to watch it? Yeah. I'm sure you will too. If you have any interest in boxing, you're going to watch this. But just, they better just do it sooner rather than later. At least give us a time, whether it's a year from now or 9 months. Give us a time because my interest starts to diminish. And I'm sure a lot of other people, I don't know how you are, but you might be the same way as me. And if many people say this, they might not watch the fight. I'm going to watch this fight because I want something to talk about now that we're post-football. That's all I'm saying. I love how they meet behind closed doors. What do you think they're talking about? They already said they want to fight. Are they talking about when, what month? I don't think that's the problem. Are they talking about the 60-40? I think we already worked out. Pacquiao just wants a shot at him and will take whatever money he gets. I think they're coming up with a little plan. Yeah. Let's get a little bit more. Come on, get everyone keep talking. Then we'll talk about the media. They'll see us together. This is great. This is how you market a fight. We're going to promote it. We're going to promote it Don King style. Coming up next. Why the NFL shouldn't increase playoff games. The season should not increase it. Plus, I'll tell you Dean Smith's biggest impact on basketball. You're listening to the Slant Sports Talk with Brad Stein. It is early in the afternoon, Monday. We are talking some sports. You're listening on Full Gamut Radio, OregonSportsNews.com. Thank you very much for joining. Still a lot to get to, a lot to talk about. Mayweather, Pacquiao, will it or won't it happen? At Brad's 56, love to hear your opinion. Or do you even care if it happens? Is it past your prime? because it was getting past my prime. Now I want to see it, but I'm not going to keep going back and forth and talking about this until it's in the book saying, yeah, it's going to fight. All I can tell you is the reason why they're doing it, and the reason why is to create more interest, more hype to promote this and get a bigger purse. So that's what Mayweather cares about. That way he can give out more Bentleys and gamble $500,000 a hand. And that's money, fame, all this hype. That means a lot to him. I really do think Pacquiao is more sincere. He just wants a fight. But Pacquiao will go with any way necessary that that Mayweather wants to go on this fight. Pacquiao will follow him into a dark hole, a dark alley. Doesn't really matter. Don't say why uh-oh, though, because you might get a technical foul. Oh, God, that was such a dumb situation. Yeah, I lied. You caught me in the lie. I lied. More NFL discussion. We're on to other sports. I know we're on to other sports show, but we got to talk a little NFL because it's always here. The NFL would be making such a great mistake if they increased playoff games. And I said this when they first touched on the situation last year. And my reason at that time was it's going to devalue the 17-week season. It's going to oversaturate the playoffs. I know it's just one team in each conference, but that team, maybe they are 10-6. Maybe they are 11-5 and they're well-deserving. Maybe one year they're 8-8 or 7-9. But I think we have a system that's not broke. And I like the fact that only 12 teams out of 32 get into the NFL playoffs. That means 20 teams don't. I like the fact that there's less. That's why the March Madness is a lot of fun to watch, but it's so many teams. Everyone gets in. That's why nobody cares about the regular season. Baseball, it was good that they added the wild card in. And now it's keep it here. It's enough. NBA, they have 16 teams in each conference, or 8 teams in each conference, 16 teams total. You always have that 7th and 8th team that goes against the number 1 or number 2 and doesn't usually compete well. Every now and then, you might have a miraculous win, or they might even get to 5 games or whatever. But a lot of times, it could be a sweep, and it could be uninteresting to the fan, less compelling. And that's why I think oversaturation is not a good thing. But now I look at what the NFL will happen this year. I look at Super Bowl 49, and I think that should encapsulate all the speculation about increasing, expanding the playoffs to 7 teams, 14 total, or to increase from 16 games to 18 regular season games. If you didn't watch Super Bowl 49, if you didn't watch the NFC Championship game, I'm going to review it for you. The Seattle Seahawks have 4 people in their secondary. 3 of them were injured all in that game, and one of them injured 2 days before the Super Bowl. That's Cam Chancellor. Sherman with the elbow, who's going to need surgery. Thomas, where it looked like it was just a separated shoulder, now it's also a torn labrum surgery. Cam Chancellor played with a stinking torn MCL, another surgery. And Sherman, of course, is going to have Tommy John surgery. Now look at a team that was completely banged up, and I don't think that I got the Super Bowl that we could have. Not an excuse for Seattle, but it could have been a lot better, a lot more competitive. Now they played 19 games. Can you imagine if they played 21 games? Sherman, Thomas, Chancellor, they wouldn't have played, and neither would have Jeremy Lane, who also got injured during the Super Bowl, broke his arm. They were dropping like flies, and then Cliff Averill also for the Seahawks. They were just dropping like flies because we're in a different society of an NFL, and if anyone should understand this, I'm not talking about to the fan. I think we understand it. We resonate with this. Even if you want more games, you do understand it's a completely different NFL. Roger Goodell, if anyone, should understand this. And believe me, he understands it more than you, more than me. He's a smart guy. But everything is about numbers and about money. And he really doesn't care. It's so funny. He talks about NFL safety, player safety. That's his number one priority. If that's his number one priority, then why the hell would he even think about expanding the playoffs and expanding the season? Because we get more games, more revenue for the owners, more revenue for the National Football League, and then everyone makes out. But I think it's B, horse manure, diddly poo crap, because we're all losing out. We're getting less competition. Maybe we're getting more games, and I love football. Just like the more pizza, the better, but eventually that pizza gets a little cold and it's a little soggy. It's not good. Sometimes Pizza Hut, they stink. Domino's, they're not very good, but you're buying by the bulk. Eventually, that pizza is not going to be good. and it's going to get worse. It's going to be sour. And then you're going to regret that you ate so much because you're going to sit in the corner with a little tummy ache. Then your wife or your girlfriend or maybe your boyfriend will give you some Donna gel or some antacids for your belly. And you're sitting there, why did I eat all this? Why did I ingest all this football? Because it's there. If the pizza's there, you're going to eat it, right? Yeah, pretty much, unless you're really lactose intolerant like me and have that gluten sensitivity. But if football's there, we're going to watch it. It doesn't mean it's good. Cincinnati, they were in the playoffs. That game stunk. There's so many teams that are just less compelling that are not going to put up a good fight. And we saw a lot of the games that weren't great. The AFC Championship game sucked. The Patriots blew out the Colts. And that was the AFC Championship game. And I didn't think that the Colts-Cincinnati game was very good. Maybe if Green played, it would have been a different story. But we're looking for the parity, and we have that concept in the National Football League. Why do you want to change something? Why do you want to move it? Just because of money? I hope it doesn't happen, but it's probably going to happen because it's been talked about. And when Roger Goodell wants something, somehow he's getting his way, and he's moving towards that direction. So we'll take it when it happens. We'll talk about it more. Just a big deal. It really is. And the Super Bowl 49 should encapsulate everything for everyone. Just look at all the players getting injured. You're going to get less quality. What if it was quarterbacks that were being injured? Didn't you see Aaron Rodgers hobbled? It's a long season. He was injured. Wasn't the same, was he? A lot of people use that excuse. That's why they lost. He couldn't move around. He wasn't the same. No, he really wasn't the same. And it wasn't as good, was it? Do you want that? Instead of the Legion of Boom and all the defensive backs and defensive linemen, what if it's all the marquee wide receivers, running backs, and quarterbacks that are injured? And then we're going to watch football with Mark Sanchez as the quarterback? With Matt Hasselbeck still hanging? Yeah, Matt Hasselbeck still plays for the Indianapolis Colts. Did you know that? He's a backup. You want to watch him? That's what we're coming down to. You are listening to The Slant Sports Talk with Brad Stein. Thank you very much. Monday afternoon, but Tuesday on Oregon Sports News and full gamut radio at FGRN.net. We lost a legend in college basketball. Dean Smith passed away at 83 years old. Wonderful man, iconic figure. Only heard good stories. And a lot of times when players or legendary coaches die, we always just talk about the good and we don't talk about some of the issues. And I remember when Al Davis died that I touched on some of the questionable moves, decisions that he made, and some of the controversies about good old Al Davis. But with Dean Smith, you can look through, you can try to remember, you can read, you can listen, you can talk to anyone. There's just nothing bad about Dean Smith. And it happens. It's just part of life. But I want to just embark on his career because it was absolutely fantastic. Maybe he should have won more titles and he only won two national titles and people were like, with that talent, maybe he should have won more? Yeah, probably. Maybe so. 11 Final Fours in 36 years, only one losing season, and that was your first year. It's still remarkable. And just because he didn't have four national titles or five with some of the players like Worthy, Perkins, Michael Jordan, Vince Carter, and some of those guys, Eric Montross, it doesn't take away from what he meant off the court. And when you have guys, legendary people like Michael Jordan talk about the way he talked about him, that you know that this guy was really special. Vince Carter, Roy Williams, I heard him speak on Dean Smith and he had some wonderful words. And all these guys said he was a mentor. He was a reason for their success. And when they make a decision, when they think about how to go upon something, they think about what would Dean Smith do? How would he react? James Worthy, he had a lot of great stuff to say to him. Good stuff to say about him. Would Dean Smith be proud of me? When you hear yourself saying that, the guy was a status. And as great as he was, we're talking about in college basketball, his bigger influence was actually in the NBA, and he never played or coached in the National Basketball Association. But look at some of his former protégés, George Karl, who's now being once again trying to be hijacked to Sacramento. The Kings are just stalking this guy, trying to bring him back. Former Smith protégé with over 1,100 wins. Great part of the NBA, George Karl. Larry Brown, another one, a former North Carolina point guard, won a title playing in the ABA, head coaching NBA, and in the NCAA. Larry Brown's going to go, even though a lot of people don't know where he is right now, he's at SMU, a small school coaching. Larry Brown's going to go down as the only person to have a championship coaching or playing in the ABA, the NBA, and the NCAA. And wherever Larry Brown, whenever he took over a basketball team, that team was going to win eventually. He might have been there maybe for 2 or 3 years in a lot of his stints. But he got the most out of players, got the most out of his teams. And again, he acknowledged Dean Smith. Our own Terry Stotts right here in Portland, he developed his movement offense from Carl, from George Carl when he worked under him. And that was via Dean Smith. Again, it's a big coaching tree. Scotty Brooks, he also is from that coaching tree. So when you look around the National Football League or you look around any sport, Major League Baseball, you look at the coaching trees and you see what a big influence that he had. Some of the bigger names that we've had. Some guys that are coaching right now with the Blazers, Terry Stotts, that a lot of this came through the wisdom, the tree, the teaching tree of Dean Smith. Current North Carolina head coach Roy Williams, another big one. He played and served as an assistant to Dean Smith. Wonderful coach. Paid a big respect to him. I wanted to read what Michael Jordan said about Dean Smith. Had some great words. Once I get that, I'm going to talk about that. He just had some really wonderful things to say about Dean Smith, and that's what you expect. But when a guy like Michael Jordan doesn't really speak out that much, goes on a tangent and talks about Dean Smith in that way, saying that he was a second father and that it was the best time playing for him and that he learned so much, not just about basketball, but about life. And you know, the guy was an inspiration and he should be acknowledged on any podcast or any water cooler talk. It's a good man. How do you think that Dean Smith right now would enhance NBA All-Star Weekend? Because every time we come close to NBA All-Star Weekend, with or without Damian Lillard, but now we have him, we always come back and we always think about how can we enhance it? How can we improve it? Because I want to go back, I want to rehash some of my ideas of last year and the years past, because I have so many great ideas and I don't know why the NBA, I know they've considered some of these, but why they don't just pass them. Because the NBA All-Star game, it's not the worst, but it's pretty bad. The NHL All-Star game is the worst out of the big four sports because these guys aren't hitting and checking. Physicality is the best part of hockey, is it not? And these guys are scoring 30 goals combined, nobody really cares. But basketball, it's not like a lot of the people don't play defense around the NBA. Sorry to bring that out there to you, but if you didn't know, a lot of guys don't play defense in the NBA. And in the All-Star game, it's bad. And it's like, who cares? You're just watching these guys dunk. The dunk contest sucks anyways, and that's what we're getting. We just get to see all these guys on the court. And when you're a young kid, maybe it meant a lot, because it meant a lot to me to see Jordan, Magic, Bird, Dominique, Karl Malone, Barkley, Olajuwon, Ewing, to see all those guys on the court at one time. That was sensational. And those guys played harder back then. Again, we're in a different game, a different time. But I just feel that one-on-one and two-on-two half-court games instead of the All-Star game would be a lot better. It would be more exciting. And guys like Kevin Durant, who had to come out with his big mouth and say that, hey, let's play one-on-one for the All-Star plays. Damian Lillard thinks that he was snubbed. Play me for my one-on-one spot just because I played half a season. You know what? You're 6'10", probably 7'1", and with your reach and all. And you're going to go, you want to compete against a 6'3" guy, Lillard? I think most of us would watch it, wouldn't you? I'd like to see if Lillard can score on him, but it's not a fair contest. I want to see them not play one-on-one for an All-Star place. I want to see them play one-on-one during the All-Star weekend. You could, if you want to keep that game, keep the game, but I want to see the one-on-ones and the two-on-twos. To me, that's way more extravagant than watching this stupid All-Star game. But do you think that any one of those guys are going to want to lose? Kevin Durant, he might not play defense in the All-Star game, but when it comes to a one-on-one, you think he's going to let his buddy Russell Westbrook go past him? Do you think he's going to let LeBron James dunk on him? Heck no. And those guys are going to play competitive. And if that's the way that we can get a little bit more of a game, some more action, some more excitement, then I'm all for it. That's why I call for 1-on-1, 2-on-2. And that's how a lot of this basketball is played today anyways. So let's see that. 2-on-2 games, how about you pick one of your teammates, Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant against LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. Who wouldn't pay to see that? Would you rather see that game, or would you rather see all those guys who are going to be in the All-Star game anyways, just on team of five that, you know, aren't playing defense, they're all laughing, say, watch this, I'm going to throw it off the backboard to myself, and I'm going to say, hi, I'm Rob Lowe, and I'm Rob Lowe who should have thrown it off the backboard twice, and then I'm going to dunk it right in your face. No, we have a lot more to gain if these guys actually played a 1-on-1, 2-on-2 contest. They're not risking injury. They're not going to be killing themselves playing half court. Let's get it. The sooner, the better. And that's good. I'm happy that Kevin Durant is on to something here, talking about play me for my 1-on-1 spot. How about you play the 1-on-1 basketball game when you're in the All-Star game? That would make a lot more sense. And it would be a lot more captivating for us all. That's all that I ever wanted to see. Just give me that. Thanks again for listening to the Slant Sports Talk with Brad Stein, doing this on OSN and Full Gamut Radio. I finally got Michael Jordan's little words for Dean Smith, and it was some good stuff. That's why I wanted to read it. I don't have the audio, but if you want to check out the audio, I'm sure you can get it on YouTube or go to NBA.com. That's where it is. But he said, other than my parents, no one had a bigger influence on my life than Coach Smith. He was more than a coach. He was my mentor, my teacher, my second father. Coach was always there for me whenever I needed him, and I loved him for it. In teaching me the game of basketball, he taught me about life. My heart goes out to Smith's wife, Linnea, and their kids. We've lost a great man who had incredible impact on his players, his staff, and the entire North Carolina family. It's good. It's real. Some good words. Some good words and some good stuff. And we have more, so don't go anywhere. Because coming up next, I'm going to tell you the four gross habits that everyone does when nobody's watching. Plus, buy or sell around the sports page has returned. You're listening to the Slant Sports Talk with Brad Stein on Full Gamut Radio and OregonSportsNews.com. This is a great sports show, great day. Got caught lying a little bit, saying that we're on to other sports, doing it Bella Boob style, and we talk some football. It's just 365, 24 hours a day. It's just reality. And there's going to be plenty of good NFL topics, as there is other sports, and we're willing to talk about anything. I always welcome your tweets at Brad's56. Wife ran over a squirrel yesterday. She was so upset. She was hysterically crying. All I can tell you is I'm looking on Twitter in the car. She's driving. She ran over a squirrel. I didn't even know what the heck happened. All I know is she starts screaming. Ah, ah, ah. I go, what? I ran over a squirrel. And the squirrel, I looked in the back and you see the thing just looked like she ran over, broke half of its leg. It was still trying to move out of the street. I'm so sad. And you're just trying to sit there and calm her down. And I feel bad because it's a cute animal. But man, I go, were you negligent? Was the squirrel negligent for running out in the middle of the road when you're driving like a crazy balloon animal? Oh, it's not funny. Oh, the wife ran over a squirrel. I said, come on. I go, I know it's sad, but come on. You don't need to cry. So sensitive. But I had to be there for her. And you touch her head a little bit. And you say, it's okay, pumpkin. It's okay, poopy head. The squirrel is going to be okay. I bet you someone from animal control is going to find it. They'll repair its leg. And it's going to live. Did you see it walk? You didn't run over. You didn't break his spine. That's the good news. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, exactly. There's actually five gross habits that I read online. And we're going to go. But I'm only going to read four because the fifth one was so gross, it far exceeds me or the show. We're not going to go there. So we'll go with four. We're going to start from four, work our way all the way down to one. Because a lot of these don't reflect on me. They have nothing to do, but we'll try it out there. Number four, armpit sniffing. It says, everyone does it when you're not looking. Everyone has done the sniff test. Don't lie. You've been on dates. Maybe when you come out of the shower, when you're done with the workout, everyone's done a quick sniff. I think I've even been caught in public before just doing a quick sniff. But what you do is you do it real sneaky. If you're going to do the sniff test in public, you take your shoulder and you like scratch your chin, and then you raise it up a little bit, you shrug it up, and then you tilt your arm kind of inwards toward your body, and then you can get a quick sniff there, and you make sure your nose goes, but you don't look and you don't make it obvious. Then you quickly turn your head, and most people aren't even going to know. I've done the sniff test. I catch my wife doing it all the time. I go, what are you doing? Nothing. She can't even admit it. I said, it's just me. It's you and me right here. Don't lie. What are you doing? Nothing. You're doing the sniff test, aren't you, pumpkin? We've all done it. Number three, I've never done this. This is gross. Eating things from your teeth. Ugh. And the reason why I don't do it is because I'm a germaphobe. I'm a proud germaphobe. I've been that for quite some time. And I couldn't imagine putting my fingers, unless they're so clean, in my teeth. But I floss every day. And that's why I don't do that. And I don't want to eat anything from my teeth. Ugh, just gross. In fact, I said I never did it. I sort of almost did it last night. I had some sauerkraut stuck in the old teeth and my hands were clean. And I'm like, wait, didn't I just plan on talking about this topic? And I almost did it. I almost caught myself. But honestly, I really don't do it. That doesn't reflect. Maybe number two I have, nose picking. Again, we've all had the old finger stuck in the nose trying to pick themselves a winner. It's happened before. Everyone's done it. I have not participated in that gruesome activity in several years. It's been a long, long time since I've done that. But this is good news. If you do pick the old nose, a Canadian professor of biochemistry says eating your own nuggets can boost your immune system. Just so you know that. If you do and your kid, your son, or maybe your nephew is eating his own boogies, you just say, hey, boost their own immune system. It's gross to look at, but you turn your head the other way. I don't do that. I catch people every day picking their nose. People don't know. You see people picking their nose when they're driving. Have you ever done that? Have you ever seen that? Isn't that gross? And then they even look at it. That's something. If you're going to do it, you don't make it evident what you're doing. You have to be very sneaky. I scratch my nose inside my nose. My nose goes, don't pick your nose. I said, I don't pick the nose. I said, I'm scratching. It itches. When it itches, that's the mechanism. You scratch it, and it looks like it, but it's not. But you never, ever look at your finger. You don't sit there and look at your armpits when you're sniffing. You take your chin. You try to roll your eyes up over your head. You don't make it obvious. Number one, this is, I don't know if this is gross. I've never been a part of this. And this is another one. This does not pertain to me. Eating in the bathroom. Eating in the bathroom as in sneaking food in. I don't do that because everything I eat is usually pretty healthy and I just eat it here. I guess I never done it, but the closest thing I've ever done when I was a young kid, I used to sneak a 2-liter Coke in the bathroom and I would put in my little water dispenser. I remember my parents got me a little water, like a water pick that you pick your teeth in because you don't use floss back then. And I would fill the whole thing up with soda and I would just spray my whole face and just keep drinking it. I remember my dad goes, where's all the soda? We just ordered pizza. Where's all the soda? And it was me. I stuck that. I stuck it. I drank that whole thing. I think I got caught doing that. My teeth were yellow. No wonder why they were yellow. My mom said, you're going to get cavities from that. You don't do that. It's not wise to water pick your teeth with Pepsi and Coca-Cola. I think it was Cherry Coke. I said, but it tastes so good. And I was just trying to be, somewhat healthy because if you use water, you're picking out all the gunk in your teeth, right? Well, what's the difference of using soda? It's carbonated. It didn't work for them. They didn't like that. They just didn't like the fact that I wasted so much soda. And boy, did I. Thanks again for listening to the Slant Sports Talk on Full Gamut Radio and OregonSportsNews.com. Buy or sell the stock. I got plenty of topics. We'll talk about it. Give me your opinion. I'll give you my opinion, as I always do. Russell Wilson should be the highest paid player in the National Football League. Do you buy or sell that? We touched on that a little bit last week. I'm going to sell. You need to extend Marshawn Lynch and Wagner. As much as Marshawn Lynch, I can hear any announcer to the cows come home and say he's 29 years old. He's 29 years old, but the reason why you got to two Super Bowls, your whole offense is pretty much predicated on him. What Russell Wilson does outside the pocket and with the read option and his success in the pocket is due to Marshawn Lynch pounding the ball and being so durable. And he can catch. And you need that guy. Just if you have to extend him for 3 years and you keep him for two more, you keep him for this year and one more, whatever. And you get rid of him in the third year, you lose a little money, so what? Your best chance to repeat and go back and represent the NFC in the Super Bowl is to have Marshawn Lynch running the football. And I know the running back has been devalued over the last several years, but this guy is not devalued because of what he does and how he fights. And I think this goes past running the football. A lot of people, if you don't watch the Seattle Seahawks, watch a game. Watch some of their highlights in the beginning of the year. Their offensive line is not good. It wasn't good last year. It's not good this year. It might be slightly better. It's average. That's it. And this guy doesn't get, they don't get much push off the line of scrimmage. And this guy breaks tackles consistently. Most yards after contact, yak. It's a guy you want to fight for every single yard. He did not let the Green Bay Packers defeat the Seattle Seahawks. And I know that defense was great. They didn't let Rodgers in. They intercepted him a couple times, got some shots on him, stopped Lacy in the second half. But it comes down to Marshawn Lynch, a guy in offense. When your quarterback turned the ball over five times and was such a dud that Marshawn Lynch said, hey, I'm going to take the team on my back and I'm going to inspire you. I'm going to inspire every single one of you. Then we're not going to quit. And this guy fought and fought. And he should have pounded the ball with him. Seahawks should have won. Marshawn Lynch should have been the Super Bowl MVP. And I think we are all feel very taken away because I would have loved to see him being interviewed by Dan Patrick or whoever was going to interview him up there. What was he going to say? Probably nothing. He'd give us nothing. It'd be a little entertaining. But the finish would have been better. I'll never understand it in a million years. I understand why they wanted to throw the ball once because they still had a timeout, and that means they can run the ball on third down and run the ball on fourth down. But at least you roll out Russell Wilson, you give him an option, or you run a fade where it's not going to be picked off unless it's a disgusting, revolting throw. But it's just a choice of plays. It was the execution. It's the whole thing. And Russell Wilson, what I do is I sit the guy down and I explain to him, for your team, do you understand? You're a very, very good quarterback. And you're a big part of why we got to the Super Bowl the last 2 years and won one. And should have been in position to win two. But you need to understand, and I think you do, how important Marshawn Lynch is. Bobby Wagner is the most underrated linebacker in the NFL. And once he got back to this team, good things happened for Seattle, didn't they? It wasn't ironic. It happened for a reason because he's great. And there's going to be some guys in the secondary like Maxwell who are also up for a deal. And we want to try to keep those guys. And giving you $150 million, making you the highest paid NFL player, it's pretty extravagant. And we can make you top five. How about that? We'll put you on par with Rodgers, Manning, Tom Brady, those guys. But do you really think that you can handle the pressure and you deserve it being number one? How do you think the guys in the locker room are going to handle you being the highest paid players and now they're losing all these other important pieces because you're getting it? And I would sit them down and make them understand that. I just would. Maybe not in so much words, so many words like that. But I really put him down and say, look, you're great. You're going to get a big contract. You're making millions of dollars in endorsements and commercials. Do you really need to sucker us for every single bloody piece? Then you bring up, if that doesn't work, then you bring up the interception. Sorry, you got to play dirty. Got to play dirty. I want to keep Seattle together. I want to see if they can have a little bit of a dynasty, if they can regroup and win the next Super Bowl. Buy or sell, Mike McCarthy should give up the play call duties because there's been talk that he's thinking about doing it. I really am amazed that he is considering this, but I'm buying because I want to see I want to see him manage the game more and give other opportunities to Tom Clements or whoever he's considering to relinquish the play calling duties. And I think it would be a wise decision. I want to see what happens. It doesn't mean it will be better. Doesn't mean it will be worse. But McCarthy's been doing it for a long time, and I think it's pretty selfish. I don't think Pete Carroll calls the defense or the offense, and you have a lot of responsibility anyways. And I think McCarthy finally hit that point where he's like, do I really need this unfair criticism? I call the best games. I have the number one offense in the league. And because I go a little conservative, everyone's going to sit there and question me. Let me give it to Tom Clements. I'm going to manage everyone else and give them an opportunity to shine. That way I can bring in these better coaches, because Pete Carroll tries to get everyone a head coaching job. And it looks like it's worked with Gus Bradley and now Dan Quinn. And maybe we can do that, McCarthy. McCarthy's thinking out of the box, and I like it. I'm buying it. Dana White and the UFC should hold Anderson Silva's purse money for a positive drug test. Did you hear about that? The fight a little over a week ago? Yeah, well, both fighters. Silva was, I believe it was steroids, some metabolites of steroids. And why am I forgetting the other guy's name? Him and his brother, his annoying brother. He got caught for marijuana a couple times during the test proceedings. Nick Diaz. That's it. There you go. Should he hold Silva's purse money? I'm absolutely going to buy that. Absolutely. Why? Because if Silva's guilty, then he deserves to be stripped of the $6 million in revenue that he was promised part of the pay-per-view. He was paid $800,000, $600,000 for the fight, $200,000 for the win. If they make this a no contest because one fighter cheated, then you know, or both fighters cheated, it's a no contest, nobody wins, then you don't deserve that money. If you're using the illegal steroid to get an unfair advantage against your opponent, and your other opponent is such a dimweed that he does something that doesn't even help him with the fight. It doesn't pep you up, it peps you down. Why would you want to do that before a fight? I don't know. I don't get it. These fighters and athletes, everyone to each his own, but I'm going to buy that. I want to wait until the NSAC votes Feb 18th to see if they rule this a no contest. And if they do, then yeah, keep the purse money, keep the $6 million. I have no problem with that. Tiger Woods has not lost his motivation to golf. Are you going to buy or sell that? I'm selling it. He has lost his motivation to golf, and I've seen it for the last couple of years. I know him back in 2013, he was named the golfer of the year, but it was still not the Tiger Woods that we've seen in his prime. And I think he's debating right now his priorities and what the cost of winning is going to take. And it's going to take a lot. He's trying to lose a few pounds because he bulked up too much. A lot of people are saying, oh yeah, it's PEDs, steroids, growth hormone, all that stuff. His body is starting to deteriorate, and that's a realization that he's probably come across. My body's breaking down, and for me to get back to where I am, I have to put more time than I've ever had. And I don't have that welcoming system at home anymore. I don't have my wife. She left me because I'm a rotten, stinking cheater. I have to do everything on my own. I have my kids that I'm with. I have to do everything on my own, and I don't have that support system. And it's just a lot more that I have. And now Tiger Woods has some self-doubt. Could he ever get back to where he was? Could he ever win another major? And that's what he's thinking, because that's what we're talking about at the water cooler. Media constantly, will he ever win? That's the one question. I'm not talking about will he ever win. Just has he lost his motivation to golf? Because I think he has. And yes, his body's breaking down, and that starts to make you worry and self-doubt yourself. And he becomes afraid of losing. And he knows he just has to work that much harder, and he has to put more in. Does he have that on the table anymore? Because I don't know if Tiger Woods put in more than other golfers. I know the guy worked hard, but things came easier to him because he was one of those athletes that excelled. He didn't have to work as hard as some. Sure, he worked plenty hard, and I'm sure he's working plenty hard right now, but now it's got to be a whole focus where usually golfers, they have a big support system. I don't think there's anyone there for Tiger Woods anymore, so I'm definitely buying, or I'm going to definitely sell this. I think Tiger Woods has lost his motivation to golf. Will he ever win? I don't know. I guess if I'm a betting man, I would probably say no. Tiger Woods does not win because his body keeps breaking down. He's getting older. There are better golfers coming in there, and he hasn't been himself in 9 years. It's been a long time since he's ever been in the prime of his career. And to tell you the truth, I could care less if he ever gets back to where he was. It would be a wonderful story for golf and something that we can talk about and deliberate, but I really don't care. I'm not a Tiger Woods fan. In fact, I want to see him play. I want to see him lose. And I think we all have our opinions, our slants. If you want to see him, watch him win, you want to watch him lose, whatever it is, we're entitled to our own opinions. I like to watch him lose. I don't really like the guy, and I like to see other golfers do well. Do I think golf's better with Tiger Woods? Of course it is. But it doesn't necessarily have to have him win. It just has to have him compete and be competitive. And we're not seeing that now because he keeps dropping out of tournaments because of his back. Once a back injury, always a back injury, always self-doubt. And then that motivation, you become lazy, lackadaisical, and become, I guess, depressed, saddened. But how sad is he with all that money and all that fame? He's had a great career. It's never going to take away that he's one of the two or three greatest golfers ever. That's the bottom line. No matter what you think about him or I think about him. All right, Michael Sam has been ousted from the NFL. Is he ever going to get a chance? Is he going to go to the CFL? I'm selling that. He hasn't been ousted. The NFL is not saying, hey, Michael Sam, let's think about this. We don't want you in the National Football League because you're gay. I don't think it's a distraction. It has nothing to do with his gayness. But if he was Michael Bennett, if he rushed a passer like that, or he was Michael Strahan of the past, then he's going to be on 32 rosters if he had the option. Everyone's going to reach out and try to give the guy a contract. What this comes down to is Michael Sam better than the worst player on a 53-man roster and plus a practice squad? Oh, I'm sure, absolutely. I'm sure he's better than a lot of the worst players on probably all 32 teams. But is he worth the gamble? Is he worth the risk? Is he that much better? No, probably not. If he was worth it, if he was going to make any impact at all in a positive way, then Michael Sam would be on a team. He has not been ousted from the NFL. He's ousted because he's not very good. He's just okay. And that's not good enough. All right, last one. LeBron's public message on Twitter for Kevin Love was a good idea. I'm selling that. I'm going to buy the fact that it is not a big deal, but I'm going to sell that it was a good idea to do this. I'm a guy who rather non-public that you keep this in. And LeBron went back and forth saying, yeah, it was a message for K-Love. And I know it is. It was intended for Kevin Love, and I think Kevin Love right now is confused with his impact on the team, how to make it work. And now you just respect Chris Bosh from the Miami Heat more and more, how he was able to do it for all those years, put his ego aside, and find a way to make a contribution by getting rebounds, by getting dunks off great feeds from Wade and James, from playing defense, from blocking shots. And K-Love doesn't have that. He has the rebounding, but he's got to find his way. He can't hesitate. He had his best game last night. Is that going to carry over? I don't think this one game is. He's still going to have self-doubt. He's still a little confused because he's never been through this. He's always been the number one option. And this is very, very difficult. But I know what LeBron James is saying. I'm just selling on it. It's not a good idea to ever do these things in public ever. And that's it. Thank you again for listening on the Slant Sports Talk. We'll catch you. I'll be here Thursday, and I hope you'll join me next Thursday. We'll talk some more, or we'll talk more next Monday or next Tuesday when you hear this on Full Gamut Radio and OregonSportsNews.com. It's been a pleasure. Have a great day.